This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Sometimes the postscript, the PS at the end of the letter, is the most important. Sometimes the addendum to a book or the last chapter of the book is the most important. I remember reading a book where the secrets of the whole story wasn't revealed until the last page of the book. Sometimes in a personal conversation, you'll hear a phrase, "by the way," and the "by the way" was the real reason the person contacted you. The "by the way" was the real reason that people called you in the first place. And you all know that. You've experienced that. And today we read the postscript, the PS, of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that we've been studying for months. And it's just a short passage I'm going to read you. It's only 3 verses long, but I believe that some of the most important things that we've studied over the last 6 months are included, or at least encompassed, by these 3 verses where Paul said, here's the therefore statement. Anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, which you'll see today, it means everything that's been referenced up until now. Therefore, because of what I've said in chapter 15 and 14 and 13 and so on, here's what you are to do. And today, we read the PS statement of the book of 1 Corinthians, and it may just speak to a man here today, and you need exactly what these words say. There's a woman here today, and you need exactly what the words are. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And 16, 13, and 14. Verse 58 of chapter 15 says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm." It's a military term. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. "Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord." Because you know, underline the word "know." You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Verse 13 of chapter 16, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." And then verse 14, "Do everything." Do everything in love. What I want to do today is nothing dramatic in the way of an outline. The text gives the outline. We're just going to go through these 3 verses, verse by verse, and let it speak to you today. Let's bring up the first verse, verse 58. "My dear brothers, stand firm." Paul could have pulled rank as an apostle, but he didn't. He didn't say, "As of the Apostle Paul, I'm commanding you to stand firm." He said, "My dear brothers." Sometimes you will do more by appealing to another believer as a brother or sister in Christ than ever pulling rank. So many people in life want to claim authority over other people. We want to claim rank over people. "Well, I know more about the Bible than you do." "Well, I'm more spiritual than you are." Do people do that all the time? They think it, even if they don't say it. And Paul just says, "My dear brothers," what's the first admonition? And I think this is really important. He said, "Stand firm." It's a military term that means to hold your ground. In the second passage, it's stand firm in your faith. And it means to hold your ground in terms of what? Everything he talked about in 1 Corinthians, in my mind, 15. Stand firm in the gospel is what we proclaimed last week, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again. I want to ask you a personal question. Whatever you stand firm in politically, whatever you stand firm in terms of your personal philosophy of your life, make sure that you stand firm in the gospel, in your faith. Do you stand firm in that?
Well, all this week, the final message from 1 Corinthians, just looking at 3 verses from chapters 15 and 16 about standing firm in your faith. You may stand firm in politics, in athletics, in your job. Stand firm in the Lord. Our website is crosshope.org.
I mentioned this in the first service this morning. I'm amazed at people who say, "I am a total Republican. I am a total complete Democrat. I am an independent, and I stand firm to what the Republicans, the Democrats, or independents believe." And then they'll turn right around and say, "But it really doesn't matter what you believe in terms of spiritual things. Believe whatever you want." Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Paul said, "Stand firm," which means hold your ground. in terms of what you believe. Don't be movable. Don't give an inch. I grew up in Indiana, and anyone who grew up in Indiana in the era that I grew up in, I don't know if it's true now, in the seventh grade, as a part of Indiana history, you were required to read the book, The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane. It was about the Civil War. It was about a young man from Indiana, and I think that was the connection and why the Indiana Board of Education required that we read The Red Badge of Courage. And in the book, it describes the youth, as he's referred to, a young 17, 18-year-old man, his first experience with battle. And I don't know why that I remember it, but I still remember from seventh grade the description that Stephen Crane gives, how that they're dug in trenches waiting for the Confederates to attack. And he said that the officers who get this, the officers were in their 20s, 20, 21, 22 years of age, were riding up and down the lines or walking up and down the lines, just encouraging the men, don't give up, stand firm, hold your ground. And that was their job. And of course, they became moving targets, and many of those officers were killed or wounded. And I thought about that. I've always thought about that story as a Christian and as a minister. Part of being a minister is to encourage people, stand firm. Stand firm what? In your faith in Jesus Christ, in your hope in Christ. Stand firm in your love. Everything that was talked about in chapter 13, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Stand firm in the gospel that Jesus died for you. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Whatever you stand firm in life, do you stand firm in your faith? We're under orders from Scripture to stand firm, to hold our ground in the faith. He says, let nothing move you. I found out in the original language, it means immovable, to be stationary, get this, like a statue. Now, some of you look at that and say, well, that describes an uncle of mine who's pretty stubborn. Or that describes my husband or my wife, they're pretty stubborn. It's not talking about stubbornness. It's talking about faithfulness. There's a difference. Don't ever confuse stubbornness with faithfulness. A lot of men who say, I'm faithful because I'm stubborn. No, they're just stubborn. Women who brag about they're stubborn and they're faithful, that has nothing to do with it. You're faithful, get this, not to a cause, but to the Christ. And you're faithful to the gospel. And let nothing move you means don't be moved around by every belief system that comes around and say, yeah, you know, I think I like that. I think I'll believe that for a while. We're to stand firm in what we believe and the one we believe in, Jesus Christ. And then he says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. The King James has the phrase, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I found out it means this, to give more than is expected. Somebody asks you to make a dozen cookies for vacation Bible school. You say, I make three dozen. You're always abounding. You're giving more to the work of the Lord. Somebody asks you to sit an hour with a sick friend. No, I'll sit 2 or 3 hours. I'm abounding in the work of the Lord. It just means that we do more than is expected. We give above what the reasonable measure is. Always giving yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Well, we'll continue this last message from 1 Corinthians tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
Have you ever done anything for anyone and you had the sense that you did it for nothing? They didn't appreciate it. They took it for granted. They said, well, if you did that, why can't you do this? Well, you gave me $50. Why can't you give me $200? And instead of being thankful, they may have had the attitude, well, what have you done for me lately? Attitude. But let me tell you this. You will never do anything for the Lord that's in vain. Meaning what? You'll never do anything for the Lord that's wasted, that's for naught. It will always bear spiritual fruit. I want to tell you a humorous story that I heard Ben Merrill tell this week. Ben Merrill is originally from Fullerton, California. Ben, get this, was a minister at a Christian church in Fullerton, California till he was 65 years old. You say, did he retire? No, at 65, he moved to St. Louis, to St. Charles, Missouri, and began to work with a church of 200 people, Harvester Christian Church. They're averaging 3,500 on Saturday and Sunday. great man of God, a great speaker. He said that when they were back in Fullerton, he and his wife, he said, "You have to know my wife to appreciate this story. She always cares about people, even strangers." They were at the busiest intersection in Fullerton, California. I would compare it to the intersection of 725 and 741, right by the Dayton Mall. Many lanes both ways, heavy traffic. So they were coming up to the light when a pickup truck in front of them was full of furniture. And four legs of a table fell out, and four legs of a couch legs fell out onto the pavement and just scattered everywhere. Ben Merrill said, his wife says, "Pull over." He pulled over to the right, and she said, "You get out in the traffic, you pick up the legs of the couch and the table." And she said, "I'll get behind the wheel, and I'll go chase the people down, and I'll bring them back here to get their stuff." Ben Merrill got out. He said it was a hot summer day in the 90s. He risked his life, almost hit by a car, dashing in between the cars to get the four table legs and the four couch legs that fell out. He waited, and he waited, and he waited in the heat, no hat on. Finally, his wife came back and rolled down the window. He said, "Did you catch up with him?" "Yes, I did." "Are they coming back?" "No, they were headed for the city dump when I stopped them." All that effort, risking his life, for what? For nothing. It was an effort in vain. Let me tell you this. Please remember this. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever in vain. Nothing. Nothing you do for Jesus Christ is in vain. Everything you do, whether it's work in the nursery, you help with the class, you teach a Sunday school class, you work in children's church, you work with the youth group, it's not done in vain for this reason. Always remember that what you do is for the Lord. It'll change the dynamics of everything you do. I'm not doing this just for a third grade class. I'm doing this for Jesus Christ. I'm not doing this just for a worship team. I'm doing this for Christ. It's not about the team. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It changes the way ministers look at their ministry if they start reminding themselves, "I'm doing this for Jesus," because nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. Let's bring up verse 13. "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." Be on your guard is also a military term. It means to be vigilant.
Well, are you a person who's vigilant about your faith in Jesus Christ? We're vigilant about our home. We're vigilant about our cars. Are you vigilant about your faith? We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Be sure to look at iTunes, and you can find us on iTunes to listen to our podcast for Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
You're not one of those people that really believes in Jesus, are you? Well, you're not one of those radical people that actually believes the Word of God. Please don't tell me you're one of those people. And you know the routine, you know the drill that people will put you through as a believer in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, be on your guard, be vigilant. Be vigilant, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, and be strong. I misunderstood this verse for years. I thought to be a person of courage and of strength meant that I had to draw on my strength and my courage, and I had to gear up my courage so that I could be brave for the Lord. That's not what it means. You can be brave as a believer in Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit of God will give you a bravery that you never dreamed about. And the Lord will give you a boldness of spirit that you never knew you could possess, and then it's a reminder to you, it's not your boldness and it's not your strength or courage. It's the Lord's courage and strength that He manifests to you and through you. This may be a newsflash for somebody, but you don't have what it takes, and neither do I, to be bold, brave, and courageous for the cause of Christ. But the Holy Spirit does. You don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes, but the Lord God Almighty does. I'm going to focus the rest of my time on verse 14 that says, do everything in love. Do everything in love. What would happen today if every husband said today, starting today, I'm going to do everything I do in love? Radically change the way he looks at his wife and children. What would happen if a wife and mother, single parent, said, starting today, I'm going to do everything in love? What does that mean? Everything you do is based on a love for the Lord and a love for people. rather than I'm not doing this for recognition. I'm not doing that to see what applause I get, what kind of acclamation I get for this. I'm doing this in love for Jesus Christ and for people. Some of you need to hear this sentence. It's a long one, but I'm going to give it to you twice. People may not remember anything you do, but they will remember that you loved or you didn't. People may not remember anything you do, your whole life, but they will remember that you loved or you didn't love. Do you realize that someday people are going to remember you as a man or woman of love or a man or woman with a lack of love? And it's not something in between. It's one way or the other. Decide today you're going to be remembered as a man who loved his family, who loved people, and most of all, who loved Jesus Christ. Decide today you're going to be a woman who's remembered as a person who said, you know, I don't remember a lot of things she did, but I remember that she loved God and she loved people. During this series, you've heard me quote Dr. Kenneth Chafin quite a bit. Ken Chafin was a minister, became a professor at a seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and then went back into the ministry in Houston, Texas. So he was kind of in and out of the ministry, located ministry. And I want you to listen to what he writes, a powerful paragraph. He said, recently I said goodbye to a congregation I had served for more than a decade. With these people I had shared life with all its variety of experiences, joy, sadness, anger, forgiveness, praise, prayer, work, and play. At the end of the last service of worship, I looked at those who were there and I was seeking some appropriate last word to say to these people. It was my last time with them. There were so many words that would have been appropriate, but because of the deep emotions of the hour, I found it almost impossible to speak. I choked up. All I could finally say was, you people know of my love. You people know of my love. That summed it up. There were so many words that would have been appropriate, but because of the deep emotions of the hour, I found it almost impossible to speak. I choked up. All I could finally say was, you people know of my love. You people know of my love. That summed it up, and that was enough. Someday, and I don't want to sound melodramatic or maudlin, but someday, in a sense, you're going to be saying goodbye to your family if you have that opportunity. May it be said of you that you can be in that location, that place, wherever it may be, whenever it may be, and say, you know of my love for you. Why? Nothing else matters. Do you remember the great equation from 1 Corinthians 13? Anything in life minus love equals zero. Don't ever forget that equation. Anything minus love equals zero. Don't ever forget that in terms of your love for Christ and your love for people. One more story by Ken Chafin, and then I'll close. When I went back into the local church ministry from the classroom, the college classroom, I began conducting funerals again. And I was surprised by how many of these services were conducted in the chapels of funeral homes instead of the sanctuaries of churches. One day, as I rode back from the cemetery with a funeral director, I asked about this trend. He assured me that eventually all memorial services would be conducted away from church because, in his words, people don't like to go to church to be reminded of death. I asked a funeral director at the first service who was here this morning this question, are you seeing that? And he said, not only am I seeing that, he said, we're having funerals where the family says, we don't want a minister. We don't want a minister to have the service. We want so-and-so just to speak. And so there's a trend not only getting away from the church, but getting away from anything spiritual, even at a funeral. Ken Chafin says, although I did not outwardly react to his remark, I determined in my mind that I was going to do whatever I could to reverse the trend because I believe that people should be buried from the place where they made their professions of faith in Christ and where they met to worship God and where they met to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he closes with this anecdotal story. I recall the service for an outstanding young mother in the church who died. The sanctuary was so packed with members and guests that the immediate family was forced to sit on the front pew, and there were still guests who had to stand. For the close of the memorial service, the congregation sang the very strong hymn, "How Firm a Foundation." When we came to the last stanza, the teenage daughter of the woman stood. The teenage daughter of the deceased woman stood, and then the family and the congregation followed suit. As one voice, we sang these words, "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes." Now, those are words that you don't use and I don't use in everyday conversation, but let me tell you what the gist is. Stand firm. Stand firm in your faith, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and whatever you do, do everything in love. What would happen today if we took the PS, just the PS of the letter of 1 Corinthians and said, that's going to be the byword for my life, the postscript of the book of Corinthians. I can't remember anything else, but I do remember the postscript to stand firm and to do everything. 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 In love. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.